So yeah, if you want to go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 10. This morning's sermon is titled Vision for the Impossible. Before I begin, I just want to give you a quick quote from a man named Robert A. Henlon, and it says this. He says, "Always listen to experts. They'll tell you what can't be done and why, and then go do it." Jesus said to the father of the demon-possessed child, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Mark made it a point to record Jesus saying that all things are possible with God three different times on three different occasions. He's the only one to have done that. All things are possible with God. So if you were, we're going to read in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. Again, that's Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. It says this, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, 'A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Now, if you'll allow me to make an assumption here, the Bible doesn't tell us this, but with the man's name, where he's at, Jesus' response to him, as opposed to the response that we see with other Gentiles, I'm making the assumption that this is a Hebrew man. His name is Bartimaeus, which means son of, so he's the son of Timaeus. Timaeus means highly prized. So this is the son of someone who was highly prized. And so just to put yourselves in those shoes, I'm saying y'all are children of he who is highly prized. And he highly prizes you. And I just want to point out the fact that as this man cries out, despite all the people telling him to hush, it got Jesus' attention enough that it caused Jesus to stop. We could assume that had the man not called out, that Jesus would have just kept on going. He had a purpose and a mission. He was headed somewhere. But the cry of one of his children, those that were in covenant, caused him to stop and take heed to what was being said and what was being asked. I want to talk to you this morning. You'll see on the board, the projector, that I've got the letters OCR. Now, that's an acronym that has a couple different meanings. The one that we're going with here this morning, those letters, OCR, in the sporting world, stand for something. Does anyone know what that is? If no one else does, Katie does, because I made sure she knew before this morning so that she could tell us. What does it stand for, Katie?
Obstacle course.
Now, that may not mean anything to y'all, but it's quite popular among a lot of people today, is obstacle course racing. And the reason we chose it this morning is just I wanted to have something to put in your memory. And we're going to use those letters to represent something different this morning. But we're going to talk about three different obstacles that are capable of keeping you from seeing the power of God at work in your life. I said that we want to have vision for the impossible. Here you've got a man, Bartimaeus. He's a blind man. Now, it doesn't tell us that he was born blind, but as I was reading this and meditating on this, we know that there's other people that Jesus healed that were born blind. Have you ever thought about trying to explain sight to a blind person and for them to come to the place where they would desire sight? How do you explain someone who's only ever seen dark what it means to see anything, and that they would desire that, to have vision for? I want sight. I want to be able to see. But here we have a blind man, born blind or not, I know not, but I know that he had vision and knew that he wanted to see and was able to ask that. But I believe that when we read this, you can see three different obstacles, probably more, that are capable of keeping you from seeing the power of God at work in your life. And we start with O, which, rather than meaning obstacles, we're going to say that it means outside pressure. Outside pressure can keep us from calling on and depending on God. We see all the crowds sought to quiet Bartimaeus from calling on God. Here's a man. Jesus is walking down the street. His disciples are with him and others and throngs of people. Obviously, at this point in his ministry, people have heard about the miracles that he's done. Many have seen the miracles that he's done. And Bartimaeus has heard these same things. He's heard rumors of the things that Jesus has done. And sitting where in a place that I'm guessing that he often sat, that he would have had to have someone lead him to this spot that he was accustomed to sitting in and begging. When he hears Jesus coming by, he begins to cry out. And it says that he cried out a great deal, even in the midst of people pressuring him to quiet himself. He wouldn't be quieted. He wanted the person of Jesus and knew that it was only Jesus that could give him what he needed. And so he wouldn't be hushed in his appeals. Again, all the crowd sought to quiet Bartimaeus from calling on God. People, even well-meaning people, can get into the mully grumps. It can't be done. Might as well give up on that. They might even get angry. Just stop this nonsense. It's foolishness. I've had just as much outside pressure in my life about believing the things of God from those within the church as I have had from those without the church. Anybody say amen? Anybody ever experienced that? That you know that you've heard from the Lord, you're believing on God, and it's not outside pressure from unbelievers calling you foolish, it's those within the church calling you foolish. Yes, but just common sense tells us, Jason, that it's wise to do X, Y, and Z. Well, maybe it is. But God has called me to believe Him on this, and I'm going to trust Him on this. Uncertainty about what you need, and therefore your request to God... Excuse me for a minute. This is just an aside note. Is that it blesses me that Bartimaeus again had vision, though a blind man, to know that he needed sight. Though there are times that we know that the Spirit will intercede on our behalf. Paul says that there's times that we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, correct? And it says that the Spirit will intercede on our behalf with groanings that can't even be uttered. But that's not what happens all the time. There's times that I believe that Jesus Christ... I mean, think about Jesus. Here's this blind man coming to you, and he's crying out to Jesus for mercy. And yet Jesus looks at him and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Well, we all know what He wants Him to do for Him. He's blind. But Jesus makes it a point to ask Him. And that sticks out to me. That there's times that, like children like in relationship, Jesus just wants to hear you say the words. He wants you to come and ask. And I think that part of the time that we don't see the power of God at work in our lives is because we don't ask. And sometimes we don't ask because it's kind of, we don't even really know what it is we want. What is it you're wanting God to do? Well, I don't really know. Well, then how's He going to do it? I think we need to more and more be pressing into an understanding of the will and the mind of God so we know what to ask for. And we can ask with assurance that He wants to give it. Again, uncertainty about what you need and therefore your requests to God become vague. There are absolutely times, again, that the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered as we don't know how to pray as we ought. But I also believe there are times that God is waiting for us to ask. Bartimaeus had the vision, if you would, to ask, "Lord, that I might have my sight." There are things I know that we all long for here, but I think sometimes we don't know how to ask for them. And I think we need to begin looking at the Word of God and really paying close attention as we go through this series that Steve is bringing on the church that Jesus is building. And as soon as something jumps out at us, immediately begin taking that to God corporately and saying, "Lord, Your Word says... Lord, we want this. This is what we want." And no matter what anyone else is saying and how they might, it might look like they're succeeding out there, but we know that it's not in line with the vision that Jesus has for His church, that we would let nothing daunt us no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what outside pressure dictates and says you're foolish for wanting that or desiring that or believing that, that we're going to continue standing with vision for this is what I'm pressing for and I'm going to keep crying out until we have it. Has anyone here seen the film The End of the Sixth Happiness? Anyone ever seen that? Nobody's ever seen that? Oh, man. Okay. Maybe I'm the only one. Huh? I just made that up. Okay. The End of the Sixth Happiness. It was produced in 1958. It's a film about the true story of Gladys. Alward. Okay, Jennifer's shaking her head. Yes, thank you. She was an English servant who became a faithful missionary in a remote region of northern China. This movie really blessed me. Y'all need to watch this movie. Anyway, the China Inland Mission Center in England refused, or pick up a book about her, I'm sure equally as well, if not better, refused to sponsor her. Here you have this woman who knew that she had absolutely heard from God and was meant to be a missionary in this area of China. But because she did not have the credentials on paper, they refused to sponsor her. Due to her lack of vocation and experience. Consequently, in 1932, she set out on her own, believing with all her heart that she was called by God. Despite setbacks and no support from the mission center and the Chinese government officials telling her she shouldn't be there. So not only does she have the mission board telling her that she's not meant to go, she's got the Chinamen that are actually in China telling her she shouldn't be there. One of the exchanges during the film has a Captain Lin Nan trying to dissuade her from staying. She had to finance her own mission there, and so she took work at an inn, and that's why the movie's titled what it is. But during her tenure there, the man that owned the inn ends up passing away. And because the Chinese don't see her qualified as being able to run the inn, they too claimed her, told her that she was inexperienced, and no one was going to loan her credit or give her money to help her run the inn. But she wouldn't let any of this daunt her. Despite setbacks and no support from the missionary and the Chinese government official telling her she shouldn't be there, one of the exchanges during the film has a Captain Lin Nan trying to dissuade her from staying. He tells her, "You're broke. Vendors won't give you credit. You have no friends. And you are isolated. It isn't your country. It isn't your problem. You're white. You shouldn't be here at all." Gladys only emphasizes her resolve. "I came here to be of value." And though I'm not preaching on that this morning, I just love that recognize that when you step into Christ and His Spirit is working in you, you are bringing value to every situation you step into when you're rightly in Him. God has never called you to be a burden. He's called you to be a value to this world. Just like Israel was meant to show forth the glory and the power and the majesty and the holiness, the righteousness, the goodness, the love, the justice of God, so too the church. Mildly irritated, the captain says, "How? By trying to make people believe what you believe? By saving souls who don't want to be saved? Who will agree to anything for an extra bowl of rice and laugh at you once the rice is eaten?" The enemy saying everything to discourage and dissuade her from staying. But Gladys perseveres. God uses her to convert the village's Mandarin governor to Christianity. And one of my favorite parts of the film, when the Japanese army attacks China, she heroically leads over 100 orphan children to safety through numerous mountains, avoiding enemy soldiers. So the purpose in saying this morning is that you're going to have all kinds of voices telling you that it can't be done, but with God, all things are possible. And just like Bartimaeus, the crowd telling him just to hush, that they didn't want to be bothered with this man who, in their estimate, was of no value. He was just a blind beggar. But Jesus took time to heed His call, and the man walks away with his vision. Not only walks away, but he walks away glorifying and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to be confident that, and let no one stop you in resolve to, number one, call on God, and when you do, be clear about what you're calling on Him about. That doesn't mean there won't be times that the Spirit is not going to make intercession, because there's just certain pains and certain things that we encounter we don't know how to pray about. And in our groanings, the Spirit's going to groan on our behalf and bring that before God. But there are very real things that we need to be communicating clearly before God and asking about and standing in the gap for when we intercede. Don't let outside pressures dissuade you from being obedient to what God has called you to. C is for comforts. Comforts can keep us from coming full on when God answers our call. We see here, you may think it strange that I would say Bartimaeus had comforts. He's a blind beggar, but I believe it's safe to say that he had few material comforts. But when his one opportunity for healing presented itself, he cast his garment aside when Jesus called and came to Jesus. Sometimes receiving what God has for us means that we're going to have to meet Jesus where He is, that we've called upon Him, He answers, but it's going to require action on your part. And that can mean leaving some of your creature comforts. It can even mean, it may not be a physical comfort, it may just be leaving your comfort zone. That to see what God wants to happen means getting up from what you're accustomed to and going where He's called you to. And again, that doesn't have to mean that you're actually comfortable. People can become so familiar with their environment and their surroundings, even though they're not happy in them, that they're too scared to leave them. This happens with women who are in abusive relationships. This happens with people in jobs that they just, everything about the job is wrong, but they're afraid to step into something better because they're familiar with it, and so they stay for years, nothing ever changing. And so I say of Bartimaeus, here he sits in his street. You may think, well, it's easy to think about him getting up and leaving it, but this is what he knows. And he at least knows, I can imagine from all the years that he's been coming to this spot, that he's going to receive at least enough in people walking by that he's going to be able to go back and feed himself for the day, right? That someone has probably been leading him here to this street for years on end, and he sits down and he at least has his coat. But when he recognizes that there's something better, that there's potential for this miracle, that here the son of David is walking down the street, that he casts what I'm going to say might be his only means of comfort. He doesn't even, there's not even a second thought about it. It's just throwing, it's like Joseph fleeing from sin. Here Joseph is, and Potiphar's wife is clinging at him, and he just runs and she rips his coat off of him. And that's how we are to head to Jesus when we know he's calling us into something that's going to completely change the paradigm in which and the kingdom work that he's called us to. And there could be things like that just on the horizon for this little body, things that he's going to call each one of you to step out of your comfort zone, whether it's in ministering one to another, whether it's in evangelism, whether it's in cross-pollinization with other bodies as he calls us into community with other believers so that this thing can grow and be what it's meant to be. Just be prepared to step out of your comfort zone. When God calls and when he's near, don't waste the opportunity. Because for Bartimaeus, though we see divine encounters where Jesus, like at the pool of Bethesda, all those people that were sitting around that pool that had one type of physical disorder of another, it was only one that Jesus picked out and healed. And yet in other instances, and we could argue theology about why they chose to come to Jesus, you have people like Bartimaeus, who Jesus didn't go to, but they got up and called upon him. And there is not a single place in Scripture where we find when someone called upon Jesus to be made whole that they weren't made whole. But when you call on him and he answers, be prepared to move. The last are resources. Resources, though obviously, would anyone say that resources are a bad thing? I wouldn't say resources are a bad thing. They're a very good thing. But they can actually keep us from relying on God. Bartimaeus had limited resources, but he had resources nonetheless. He could either, and we've already mentioned this, keep being led to this spot on the highway to beg every day, or risk looking foolish, crying out to Jesus for help. We have so many resources available to us, don't we? Don't misunderstand again, resources are a good thing, except when they're not. The blessings God gave to Israel were a good thing until they weren't, until they became idolatrous, till they began to love the resources and the gifts more than the giver. The blessings God gave to Israel, again, were a good thing until they weren't, until we begin to rely on and make idols of the good things that we've been given. Your personality that God has given you in Christ can be a resource. Your intelligence is a resource. Your attractiveness, for many, can become a resource. There's a lot of people that get in lots of positions just because they're pleasant to the eyes. I mean, it happens all the day. They've done studies about these things. Your material wealth is a resource. Your relationships become a resource. And again, in and of themselves, none of these are bad things until you begin to depend on them more than you depend on God. Because none of these things can replace the power of God at work in your life. Without God in the midst of this, without God at work, then it's all for naught. We really should just stop doing what we're doing, close up shop, and go our separate ways if God's not in it. Because if He's not in it, we are not going to win it. I want to relate to you a story that I hope that most of you are already familiar with because you've listened to 10 Shekels and a Shirt. But within Paris Reedhead's sermon, a series of 10 Shekels and a Shirt, he tells us a story about those who are trying to know God so that they can use God. They want to know God for God's glory. They want to know God for their own glory and to use God and what He has to offer. It's just like the sorcerer in the book of Acts who said, man, and he tried to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit so that he could do the same things that he saw the apostles doing. So Paris Reedhead gives us this encounter. He says, a young preacher, he says, came to me down in West Virginia, Huntington, West Virginia. And he said, Brother Reedhead, I've got a great church. We've got a wonderful Sunday school program, a radio ministry, and we're growing. But I feel a personal need and a personal lack. I need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled with the Spirit. And someone told me God had done something for you, and I wanted you to help me. I looked at the fellow, and you know what he looked like? He looked like me. Just looked like me. I just saw in him everything that was in me. You thought I was going to say me before. No, listen to your heart. If you've ever seen yourself, you'll know that you're never going to be anything else than you were. For in me, in my flesh, there is no good thing. But like me, he's like a fellow driving up in a big Cadillac, you know, to someone standing at a filling station saying, fill her up, bud, with the highest octane you got. Well, that's the way it looked. He wanted power for his program. And God is not going to be a means to anyone's end. I told the young man, I'm awfully sorry. I don't think I can help you. He said, why? I don't think you're ready. Well, suppose you consider yourself coming up with a Cadillac, he tells the young man. You've talked about your program. You've talked about your radio. You've talked about your Sunday school and your church. Very good. You've done wonderfully well without the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when the Chinese Christian said, you know, when he got back to China, what impressed you most about America, the Chinaman said. He said, the great things Americans can accomplish without God. And he, speaking of the young man, had accomplished a great deal, admittedly, without God. And now he wanted something, power, to accomplish his end even further. And Paris said, no, you're sitting behind the wheel and you're saying to God, give me power so I can go. You won't work. You got to slide over. But I knew that rascal because I knew me. I said, no, it'll never do. You got to get in the back seat. He told the young man, no, you're going to have to slide over and let Jesus drive. But that's not enough because there's that temptation to reach out and grab the wheel. You're going to have to get in the back seat. And I could see him. I could just see him in my mind leaning over and trying to grab the wheel from the back seat. No, I said, it'll never do in the back seat. I said, before God will do anything for you, you know what you got to do? He said, what? I said, you've got to get out of the car and take the keys around, open up the trunk lid and hand the keys to the Lord Jesus. Get inside the trunk, slam the lid down, whisper through the keyhole, okay, Lord, look, fill her up with anything you want, and you drive. It's up to you from now on. Paris continues, that's why so many people, you know, do not enter into the fullness of Christ, because they want to become a Levite with 10 shekels and a shirt. They've been serving Micah, but they think if they had the power of the Holy Ghost, they could serve the tribe of Dan. And I tell you, it will never work. Never work. Your attitude, he goes on to say, and I'm stopping with a quote from Paris Reedhead, is the attitude that you can do nothing yourself. You are to do what you see Jesus doing, because that's the attitude that Jesus had. I do nothing that I don't see the Father doing. There are so many things that I'm tempted at different times that we could do this, we could do that. We could do this, and some of those things might be good and well if we can see principles in the Word of God that would call us to do those things. But I'm more excited about the things that God would tell us and whisper to us and say, this is what I want you to do, and that we would be obedient to that end, no matter what it looked like to everyone else that seemed to be succeeding. But you know what you'll often find in many of the larger churches, and this isn't a condemnation upon anyone, but it's the truth. You'll find a shallowness of faith in many of the congregants where right now you have opportunity because we are so intimate that there's such potential to flourish and to grow and to deepen and our roots to just dig down so deep and to drink at the well that is Jesus. So I just quickly again, you have to be careful of outside pressures. You have to be careful of creature comforts, and you have to be careful of resources. Nothing wrong with resources, nothing wrong with sitting on a comfy couch, unless you get so comfortable that you're unwilling to get up when Jesus calls. In closing, I want you to be willing to call on, to come on, and to rely on Jesus. Call on God and be clear in what it is you're asking Him for. How are we to give glory to God for prayers answered when we don't even know what we're asking Him about? I want you to be able to come in and rejoice for answered prayers, but you can't do that if you don't even know what it is you're asking. Come on to God when He calls and is near. Rely on God and look not to another. And if you would, I want to read you a poem that really blessed me, and it has to do with pressure. I was going to read it earlier, but we'll just close with it. The source is unknown, but it says this: pressed out of measure and pressed to all length, pressed so intensely it seems beyond strength, pressed in the body and pressed in the soul, pressed in the mind till the dark surges roll, pressure by foes and pressure by friends, pressure on pressure till life nearly ends, pressed into knowing no helper but God, pressed into loving the staff and the rod, pressed into liberty where nothing clings, pressed into faith for impossible things, pressed into tasting the joy of the Lord, pressed into loving a Christ life outpoured. I would like for us to position ourselves in a place where I know that at different times we can get discouraged, but there is real opportunity for us to be positioned in a place where neither outside pressures, creature comforts, nor resources that may be available to us now or available in the future will stop us from totally depending and relying on Jesus Christ so that He can truly show Himself strong on our behalf. And I just want you to be prepared and excited about allowing Him to do that. That the more that vision is gleaned for what Jesus really wants for His church, the more confident you will be, even if it doesn't look like what you feel like it should look like now, that you can be confident that if we are doing the things He's called us to do, that we will see the impossible. Just like blind Bartimaeus, no matter what the naysayers say, no matter who tries to quiet us, that if we are truly walking in and relying on Jesus Christ, that things that will be done that have not been done hitherto. Things will not only be done corporately, they'll be done individually. The conversation I had with Michael, that there will be people hearing the gospel, being healed, being made whole, that there will be relationships the likes of which the church has not seen since the book of Acts. If we would just stand confidently. And so I'm imploring you, I'm begging you to listen with ears wide open and hearts that want to receive as we continue through this series. And just be prepared to, as you hear what God is saying in His Word, that make it your own, receive it, let it be yours, and begin to stand in it. And like Bartimaeus, begin to cry out in your prayer closet that until these things are fulfilled, I will not be satisfied. Until what you have truly envisioned for your church is accomplished, I will not be satisfied. That it's not meant to be one man's burden to see what God has intended for His church, but it's meant for the church to want to. It's meant to be the church's, because it's Christ and the church is Christ's church. It's not our church. It's not my church. It's not Eric's church. One of the very reasons that we set on the course that we set on when we formed what is now the Texas House of Prayer, and the reason for doing is it was so that it was no longer, people wouldn't say, oh, you go to that church down the road, that's Jason's church, right? It's no man's church. It's Jesus Christ's church. And until people really have a revelation of that, there will continue to be the Baptist church down the street, the Methodist church down the street, the Pentecostal church down the street. Oh, that's Pastor so-and-so's church. No, it's not. It's Jesus' church. And for it to come to full blossom, we have to stop letting things pressure us into not having faith in what God is calling us to. We have to step outside of what is common. Because much of what we're going to experience, if we're to experience what those in the book of Acts and the early church experience, are going to be things that are unfamiliar. And we're going to have to not trust in man-made resources unless the resources that God is the one putting in front of us for His benefit. That we need to absolutely be relying on Him and not our own wit, not anything other than what He Himself has provided. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for those in this room, Lord. We just bless You over Your Word, and I pray, Lord, that we would see the impossible happening, because it's the things that are happening amongst us are only things that You can work out, Lord. And we bless You. I bless You over Your Word. I bless You over the faithfulness of those who share Your Word in this place, Lord, both within the pulpit and within the pews, Father. We bless You. I just pray for greater and greater degrees of revelation and obedience to Your Word, Lord, as You reveal Yourself to us. We thank You and we bless You in this place this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.